All right. John chapter 6. Where's my fan? I'm hot already. John chapter number 6. And we need to find... Well, we're going to pick up in verse 7 because we started this passage on Sunday night. But let's go ahead and read the whole passage again. Let's read John chapter 6, 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. And there was much grass. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Lord, once again this morning, we just ask for your help to understand your word, and we ask that you'd change us by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday night, we began to look at this passage, and we just looked at a few things. We won't turn there again this morning, but if you want to mark it down, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And what we were looking at last Sunday night was this. Whenever there is a circumstance, when there is a situation or a problem in our life, something that we look at and we don't know how we're going to, how it's going to be fixed. We don't know how the need's going to be met. We don't know how things are going to come together. Too often what we do is we lean unto our own understanding. Okay? I don't know how that bill is going to be paid, and we get the checkbook out and we just stare at the checkbook. Boy, it's as if staring at it is going to put money in the bank. If that were so, I'd be a millionaire, and many of you would be as well. If worrying about it was going to put money in the bank, we could buy the state of Indiana because we've all been there. Are we going to lean unto our own understanding? Are we going to lean unto our limited knowledge? And see, that's the thing, is our understanding is so limited because we have finite minds, okay? We serve a God that knows everything. We serve a God with an infinite mind, and you and I have finite minds, so we don't know everything. And if you don't know everything, then you can't understand everything either. So what are we going to lean to? The way that things seem to me? Or am I going to look to the one who knows all things, who's in charge of all of it? And so here, Christ and his disciples and these other followers, they're up on this mountain. And Christ looks out and he says, how are we going to buy him? How are we going to buy him something to eat? How are we going to feed him? And he was proving Philip. I like what it says. He saith in verse 5, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? How are we going to buy enough bread so that these can eat? Or where are we going to get bread from so these men can eat? And then it says, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, that could be one of the most powerful verses in this passage. He himself knew what he would do. You realize that whenever you have a problem, when you have a situation in your life and you don't know how this thing's going to work, you don't know how this thing's going to play out, you don't know what the answer is, and you get down and you pray to Almighty God, God does not have to stop for 5 seconds and think to himself, now how am I going to do this? God does not have to step back and say, you know what, boy, you brought me a stumper today. Boy, I don't know. I'm not sure how I'm going to fix this one. Give me a day or so, and I'll get back with you. You go to the doctor, and what do? You don't feel good. They look you over, and then they maybe take some blood work. They do some things like that, and then you got to wait. And then they look and see what it is, and sometimes they know right away what it is, and sometimes they don't know, and then they're trying to figure it out and trying to give you an answer, and you're just not sure. I don't know. We're going to have to figure this thing out. Over the weekend, Clayson has this playhouse thing outside, and we needed to move it, and that thing's like 7,000 tons. It's heavy, okay? And the boys and I are just standing. We don't have anything to put under it. I mean, we've got my trailer, but you got to get it up on the trailer, and we don't know how we're going to do this thing. And we're scratching our head. Well, we could do this. Let's put some logs under to this. Well, we don't have any logs that long, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to do this thing, okay? And then we figured out a way to pick it up, and then in picking it up, then the answer hit us. Oh, wait, let's do it like this. And then we put, I won't tell you how we did it, but anyhow, it dawned on us. But I mean, I've been trying to figure out for a long time, how are we going to move that big old thing? It's heavy. We just got to get it on the trailer, but you can't hardly get that thing up there. Well, we got it figured out. When I came to that problem, I didn't know how we were going to move it. I had no idea how we were going to get that thing moved. We had to work at it and figure out the answer. You bring a problem to me, I bring a problem to you, we might have to stop and think for a while. We're going to have to think that one over. Never is that the case with our Lord. Think about this. Before your knees hit the ground, before one prayer goes up, he knows exactly how he's going to fix that. But how's he going to fix it if you don't act in obedience and let him fix it? Okay? And let me say this. Sometimes what will happen is a person will pray for the answer, and they'll pray for God's intervention, but they won't take their own hands off of it, and they won't leave it to him. And they'll pray and they'll ask God to, Lord, help me with this, do that. But then they keep trying to do it. Well, you're looking at a man that's done that plenty of times. Plenty of times. You're looking at a man who has prayed about things but didn't take his hands off of it and tried to, do things his own way. Hey, God's not touching that thing. God's not touching that thing until you take your hands off of it. You know why? Because he doesn't need my help. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need, what does he want? Just let him have it. Parents know what I'm talking about. When your little one has a broken toy or something. Clayson was playing cars the other day and broke about 5 of them. Cars. And they just kept breaking. And he kept bringing them over to me. Daddy, that tire's falling off or something, And I would take it. And one of them couldn't be fixed. But the other ones, he had to put it back together and snap it back together. What did he have to do? He had to put it in his father's hands. He had to say, Daddy, here's what's wrong with it. Can you fix it? Daddy took it and fixed it and gave it back. But what do? We go to God in prayer and we say, Daddy, here's the problem. Well, let me have it, son. Well, Well, are you sure you know how to do it? Let me show you. I think what you need to do is you need to turn. You ever been working on something? I'm going to be very careful with this illustration so that I don't get myself or anybody else in trouble. Have you ever been working on something and standing next to you was maybe a loved one who didn't know anything about what you were working on? Say maybe the carburetor or something like that, and didn't even know where the carburetor was, and you were standing there working on it, and I'm just talking in general, and you're standing there working on it. I don't think that's how you do that. You ever, come on. You have had that done to you, or you've done it to somebody. You've been working on something, and somebody who doesn't know anything about what you're working on is looking over your shoulder trying to tell you how to do it. Or you've tried to tell somebody else how to do it. Okay? And then maybe you got a screwdriver in the... You better back up now. Or maybe it was a carving knife. Listen, don't you tell me how to do this. I know. Okay? You know what that's like. And you want to... Your flesh wants to say, shut up. You don't know how to do this. I do. That's your flesh. None of us in our spirit would say that. But your flesh wants to say, now stop. Now I know how to do this and you don't. But we go to God with things. Lord, will you do it this way? I'd like for you to do it that way. I've prayed, but I think I still need to do this and I need to hang on to this. And aren't there times when God could tell us, stop it. Now just stop it. You don't know how to do that. You don't know how to fix that. Let me do it. Philip, God already knew what he was going to do. But he wanted to see what was in Philip's heart. He wanted to prove. Prove to who? Well, Christ already knew what he was going to do. Is Christ trying to prove something to himself? This is not a scientific experiment where Christ is trying to learn something about Philip. Philip needs to learn something about Philip. And Christ is going to prove something to Philip about himself. Okay? Christ is going to prove who he is to Philip. Christ doesn't need to learn anything. Philip does. Andrew needs to learn something. It says... What's Philip's answer? He says, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He says, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, that wouldn't even be enough for everybody to have a little bit. So he says, how are we going to feed them? And Philip says, well, I don't know. We got all this stuff. If we had this much, it wouldn't be enough. I don't know. Okay. Then Andrew comes in, and boy, it sounds like he's kind of on the right track, isn't he? He says, there's a little boy here, and he has some bread, 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fishes. All right, Andrew, all right, we're moving. And then Andrew, but that's not enough for everybody either. He's headed in the right direction, but he says, but that's not enough. Okay, what are they doing? They're leaning to their own understanding. They're looking at all these people that need to be fed. They're looking at the fact that they don't have enough money to buy enough food for them. And they're looking at the food that is there is not enough. Ladies, you think you've got it bad when 2 extra people show up for supper or show up for Thanksgiving? You got 5,000 men here. Okay? And there's 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes. All right? And if any of these men are like me, they can eat some fish. Because I really like to eat fish. We're not talking about, ooh, we got to stretch. There's almost nothing to stretch here. Okay? And that's what Philip is looking at. That's what Philip is looking at, and that's what Andrew's looking at. They're leaning to their own understanding. They're looking at their own circumstances and, boy, how's this going to be done? And I couldn't help but think about this, not in a critical way, because I know that I'm just like them. I know that I am a human too. I still have a flesh that I battle with, and I know that I get in the same boat. Not critical, but here's what stood out to me. Why didn't anybody say, and I'm not saying this critically, because I probably wouldn't have done any different. Why didn't anybody say, why didn't Philip say, you know, back at that wedding, you turned water into wine. So I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're probably going to feed them without any money. And when Andrew said, there's a little boy over there that has some lunch with him, why didn't somebody say, hey, remember what you did with that water? You'd probably do even more with that. Should that have been their attitude? Absolutely, because they knew he was capable. They've seen what he can do. Instead of saying, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to, because we saw you turn water into wine. You healed a guy's son without even being in the same town as him. And that guy by the pool that had been laying there 38 years and couldn't get up, you just told him to get up and he was healed. So I don't know. You know, really the only question is, you're going to bake the fish or fry them, but you're probably going to feed everybody here fish and bread. Nobody said that, did they? Shame on Philip. Shame on Andrew. And shame on Pastor Utley, and shame on Brother John and Brother Linus and you know, any one of us. Shame on us for every time that we know the goodness of God and he's met our needs over and over and over and over and over again. And we couldn't make ends meet. We couldn't even see the ends. We didn't even know where the ends went. And he made them meet. And we've seen him do it over and over and over. And he saved my soul and he gave me peace and he brought me through this and he did all of these wonderful things for me. And he's done so much in my life. And then the next problem comes and I start scratching my head because I've leaned unto my own understanding. And what's Christ want us to do? He wants us to remember the marriage in Cana. He wants us to remember the water being turned to wine. He wants us to remember that lame man. He wants us to remember. He wants you to remember, hey, I brought you through worse than this. And even if this is the worst that's ever happened, I've brought you through everything else. What makes you think I'm not going to bring you through this? Come on, he turned water into wine for people at a marriage supper. Now he's looking at 5,000 men that are hungry. These people are hungry. The Bible didn't say that the people at the marriage supper were hungry, just that they'd run out of wine. These men are hungry. Why would he not meet their need? We've got to get into this frame of mind, this understanding of God that says, God, I have no idea how you're going to answer this, but I know that you will answer it, so I'm just going to wait and see when and how and to what extent. I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm going to take my hands off of it. I'm going to let you have it. So what was their response? Well, you look at verses 7 and 8, Philip answered. Well, we read that. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? They looked at the circumstances. You know what they're doing? They're looking, okay? Here's what Philip and Andrew did. Here's the equivalent for today of what they're doing. They're at home and they're looking in the refrigerator. They're looking in the cupboards. I hope that nobody in here has ever had to wonder where supper was going to come from. I hope none of you know that, what that feeling is like, especially if you have little ones. But my wife and I know what that's like. It's been a long time since we've known that, and I thank God for that. But there have been times when we weren't sure what we were going to eat. Or we weren't sure what we were going to eat the next day. You know, we're about out here. And the money's about gone, and payday doesn't come for a while. And you're looking at a guy that's had to go to family members and ask for help. I hope none of you know that, but I guarantee you somebody else in here other than me knows that. Okay? That's what they're They're looking in empty cupboards, basically, knowing that the paycheck is a ways off. We're not talking about, hey, look, they're not looking at enough bread and bologna to get them through the week and they're getting tired of bologna. They're looking at there's about one sandwich left for the rest of the week. That's what they're looking at. You know what else they're doing? They're looking at the results from the doctor. And they're saying, boy, what are we going to do about this? They're going to work. They're going to work. And that person that they're constantly, they just cannot get along with that person. And they're trying. And it looks like their job might be in danger because they can't get along with this person. What am I going to do? They're going to work. And the boss says, brings a group of men and says, you've all done very good work, but because of financial situations, we're going to have to let 100 of you go. And they know they're one of the 100. You know what they're doing? They're picking up the telephone. And it's the sheriff's department. Because 15, 16-year-old junior got pulled over, had some stuff in his car, had some illegal substance in his car. What? And Junior can only go home if you have so many thousands of dollars to bail him out. And they what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You take any situation you want and put it in there. What they're doing is they're looking at the circumstances and saying, I don't know how this is going to get fixed. I don't know what the answer is here. But instead of saying, but you know, you already know how this is going to work out, they're just still staring at the circumstances, and Christ has to come in and show them that He knows and that He's the answer. So what are you and I going to do? Are we going to lean to our own understanding? Are we going to look at all the things? Are we going to look at the circumstances, or are we going to take our hands off and say, Lord, You do it every time? I want to back up for just 1 minute and say this. This is not a situation that they have gotten themselves into because of their decisions or because of sin or because of, that's not what this is. Okay, sometimes we find ourselves in situations that we got ourselves into because of sin. And God can still help us with those things and can fix those things and can get, but in those situations, sometimes He requires a little more out of us because we have gotten ourselves there. This is not that situation. This is, there's just people that need to be fed, and that's not because of sin, and there's not enough food, and that's not because of sin. And this is when the cupboards or whatever it is, okay, you look at whatever it is. We don't want to dwell on material things here, but this is a material thing. It's food. This is when it's just not there. And it's not because of sin. It's not like they had a wagon load of food and Philip and Andrew ate it all up and didn't save any for anybody. This is just, we just don't have it. We just don't know what to do. Okay? Well, you can look at the empty cupboards. You can look at the circumstances and not get any further. Or we can look and see the problem and say, Lord, I just have no idea what to do here. You know, I've done everything that You've told me to do in obedience to Your word. I've done that. And Lord, I don't see any place where I've been disobedient here. Lord, I've gone through Your word and I've done what You've called me to do, and there's still this situation. Okay? We're at that place where we learn what faith is. We're at that place where we learn who's really in charge of everything. We're at that place where we learn who really answers. We need to look beyond the material. How often do we forget the fact that we serve the God of creation? You ever think about that? You ever think about when there's a need or something going on in your life? Maybe it's like them. Maybe it has to do with food. And you say, well, He made this belly of mine. And He made all those animals out there and all those plants and all those... Hey, if He made it, He can answer this problem. You ever had a health need? And you say, He made my body. He's got the answer. The answer might be like Paul got. We talked about that in Sunday school. The answer might be, I'm not taking this away from you. Okay? But I'll give you grace sufficient to help you through this. And that's when we have to say, then Lord, that's exactly what I need. If that's your answer, that's what I need. And it'll draw me closer to you, and that's more important. Turn to Psalm chapter 50. Philippians 4:19 tells us that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Well, that's fantastic. That means it's His account that He's drawing off of, not mine, because mine runs empty, doesn't it? According to His riches and glory, not according to what you have or I have, according to His riches. All right? Let me give you some verses that really make Philippians 4:19 stick. Okay, so God is going to... So if I pay a bill for you, okay, don't ask me, I don't have any money, okay, don't ask me to pay any bills. I do have a piano that you can take and sell, okay? If I pay a bill for you and I write that check, that bill getting paid is dependent upon what's in my account. Okay, if your bill is up to a certain amount, I can pay it. I've got that much. If it's beyond that, I can't because I don't have that much. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Not according to what you have or what you're able to do, but according to His riches in glory. Now, you want that to really stick? Let's look at His riches. Boy, I told you to go there and I didn't go. Let's look at this. Psalm chapter 50, or the 50th Psalm, and verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. This is God talking. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. It's all His. That's why it's kind of ridiculous for us to say, well, that's my money. That's my this, that's my that. No, that's God's, and He just lets you have it. Okay, for my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. What are His riches? He owns it all. He owns it all. And I don't care what place you are in line, you're not going to step up, and then the window is closed. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. I'm sorry. I'd like to help you. It's nothing left. There's no jobs left. Sorry, the food's all gone. No. And by the way, as we're getting ready to see, with God, there's never just enough either. Okay? There's never just enough. Let's look at this. Look at the answer of Christ. Andrew points out that this boy has... 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then in verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Okay, look, let's start with what he started with. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Okay? And I don't care, and it doesn't matter what kind of fish or how big they were. Okay? For one, I don't even know what kind of fish they have over there. I don't know what they have over there. I don't know if these are saltwater, freshwater. I don't know. But even if this is 5 big loaves of bread and 2 great big old catfish, okay? Or even if it was, which you know, what's a little boy going to carry around 2 big old catfish and 5 loaves of bread? Now, if it was one of my boys, then maybe. But there's a lad, there's this little boy here, and he's got a couple of fish and 5 loaves of bread. You know, it might be his lunch for the day. I don't know. But I don't care how big these fish are. You got 5,000 people to feed. Okay? It's not enough. They said it's not enough. We know it's not enough. The most meager of our possessions can be mightily used to bring glory unto God. The most meager. Okay? You say, you know what? I don't make much money. I don't have a lot financially. Yeah, but God will take what you cheerfully give between you and Him and use that mightily. See, I just, you know, material possessions, I don't have much. That's okay. That's not what life's about. That's not what we're told to seek after. But you take what you can and say, Lord, use it however you want. He can use it mightily. You say, I don't have a lot of talents. There's not a whole lot that I can do. It doesn't matter. You take what you have, you give it to God and say, Lord, use it. He can use it mightily. You see, I'm limited. There's only certain ways that I'm able to serve because of my talents or different things, but that's okay. You make what you have available, and God can take the most meager offering and do something mighty with it. Okay, he took one family and built an ark and preserved man and animals. He took one, when a whole army was running away from one Philistine, he took a little shepherd boy with some stones and a sling, that meager little offering. He couldn't even wear armor. Saul put his armor on him and he couldn't move. It's like Clayson putting my coat on. Couldn't move in it. He just goes out there, here's what I've got. I've got this sling. Picked out these stones. God can take the most meager of our offerings, and we're talking finances, talents, material possessions, our service, what, anything, whatever it is, because doesn't it all belong to Him? Lord, whatever I've got, you've given me, you can have it. You can use it. I know it's not much, but you can turn water into wine. I know it's not much, but you fed 5,000 people with just a couple of fish and 5 loaves of bread. This isn't much, but that doesn't matter to you, because you can multiply it into whatever you want. Okay? The response of the disciples was this. It was one of obedience. Christ said, have the men sit down. And then Christ took that bread and those fish and gave thanks. Why do you think we give thanks before we partake of a meal? Christ gave thanks, and he began to distribute it to them. And you know, I don't know how the whole thing played out, but you have to kind of, you know, picture. Maybe the disciples would go out. They could only carry so much. You know, maybe they'd go out and distribute, and they would go back. And I've heard people say that, you know, maybe every time they reached in their basket, you know, the fish just, you know, kind of like the widow lady and the meal and everything, that it just never, But it tells us that he distributed, so I think it's more likely that they, oh, I need more. And then they go back to him. Okay? Because our need and our lack should turn us back to the supplier. Okay? I think that they probably, I don't know, I think they probably went back every time the basket ran out. And he gave them more and gave them more and gave them more. Whether it was that or the basket's just, that doesn't really matter here. But it says he distributed, so I think there's a good chance he kept on distributing, okay? And so he takes this and he gives thanks and then he distributes to them. And then they're going out here and they're being obedient. He said, make them sit down. They made them sit down. He gave it to the disciples for them to go distribute. They were obedient. God. Now understand, I think you understand this. I think we all know the Bible well enough, and we know our stand here, that this is not a sermon about how to... This is not a charismatic sermon. Okay? This is not a health and wealth. This is not getting all that your heart desires. We're talking about our Savior meeting our needs and our Savior being the provision for us, okay? That's what we're talking about here. But look, God blesses obedience. He does not bless disobedience. He blesses obedience, not disobedience. We can't call the shots. We cannot do things our own way. We see here the ability of Christ. It says, look at the end of verse 11. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. This is not a $5 meal, $10 meal, whatever it is, and then when it's gone, it's gone. This is all you can eat. This is, come on, you've eaten, you've gone to places and you've eaten and you've said, boy, they just didn't give you much food on that plate. For what I paid, they only gave me that little bit and you're still, or you go home and say, you still hungry? Well, yeah, did you see how little that sandwich was? There wasn't much on that plate. Or if you're a pastor, you still hungry? Yeah, it's been an hour. 20-minute drive home, famished. Okay? This is... All right, I'm full. I'm full. I've had enough. Which is a phrase that I don't utter very often. So I have a problem stopping when I'm satisfied, but... This is... Oh, yeah. I'm full. Because it says, as much as they would. You know what that means? Eat all you want. Get full. Get full. Now look. Not only does it say as much as they would, it says, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I have to back up. Look. Christ, okay, we talk about these, you know, these blessings and everything. Look. Christ did not take that little boy's food and multiply it just so that little boy had plenty to eat, did he? No. He took that meager offering and multiplied it and used what that little boy gave and used it to meet the needs of others and to bless other people. And here's where so many people in Christianity today have got it completely wrong. They think God's provision is only to meet my needs, to fill my belly, to fill my cupboard, to do this for me, for me, for me, for me. And that is not what we see here.
Christ took that little boy's food and he took the obedience of the disciples and used it to bless other people. Church, when you come to Christ with your offering, your meager, whatever it is, okay? Service, talents, goods, finance, whatever it is, okay? This is not a sermon on giving. The church is not in financial trouble. When you bring whatever that is that you're offering to Him to use, talent or finance, whatever, you bring that to Him, if you come with the attitude, Lord, multiply this for me, don't even bother. But if we'll come with, Lord, use this for your glory. Use this for your glory. Use this for others, to help others. Lord, use this to meet a greater need. Not only is He going to meet yours, but He can take what you've offered and turn around and use it to bless other people as well. It wasn't just that little boy that had more food. He used that, okay? So we have to understand, Lord, it's not, yeah, I've got a need that needs to be met, but why would I want it to stop there? No, I want God to get the glory out of this thing. And what happened? They were full. It says they were filled. They were filled, and there was food left over. They were full, and this is, everybody gets up at Thanksgiving and they're full and they're going home, and mom's in there filling Tupperware. Take some of this home. Take some of this home. Take some of this home. Amy does that, and I say, watch your mouth. Quit giving them all that food. They said they didn't want it. You know how everybody says, oh, no, you don't have to do that. I have tried to convince Amy to listen to people when they say that. Oh, she said she didn't want any ham. Don't send that ham home with her. This is, there's food left over. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter, no, 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You can go to 4 if you want, but let's go to 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I said this earlier. Christ's ability to meet our needs goes far beyond just barely meeting our needs. I mean, it's according to His riches and glory. What are His riches? Well, you can't get to the bottom of them. Okay? Look at this. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now let's not apply this just to material and eating, but look. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, not just above, but exceeding abundantly above. Okay? What does that mean? Above all that we ask or think. Well, sometimes when I ask, sometimes it's a spiritual need. Sometimes it's an emotional need. Sometimes it's a family need. Sometimes it's my neighbor's need. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's physical. Okay? We have needs in all different categories, okay? Whatever that need is. Now again, we're not preaching that, you know, Christ, that God heals everybody. We know that Scripture tells us that He doesn't, okay? We're not preaching that. What we're preaching is this: the Bible teaches us whatever my need is, bring it to Him, and He is capable of meeting that need in abundance. Now notice it said, who is able to do, okay? Understand that, able to do. You might not get the answer that you thought you were going to get. Okay, you might wanted this to be removed, and he answered you like Paul and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Or you might have thought he's just going to go this far, and he went farther than you ever thought he was going to go. Okay, we have to understand that. It is his discretion on how he's going to meet. And we in faith understand that however he meets is exactly how it was supposed to be met. He did exactly what needed to be done. But we can go to him with anything because we know that we can never bring him a problem too big or beyond his resources. We can never take anything to him that he cannot meet. He'll meet it the way that is best, the way that he sees fit. It might be a yes, it might be a no, it might be to this point, it might be more than you ever thought, it might be, we don't know. That's up to him. That's up to him. But God is never at a want for power or resources to meet our needs. We see that, we understand that. We take everything to him. And we don't know how he's going to answer it, but we know that he will. And however he does, it'll be exactly what I need. And I don't ever have to worry about whether or not he can meet it because he has all of the resources at his disposal. So it might be just over and above, and it might be just what I needed right when I needed it. Or it might be you need to wait a while. You need to endure this. But it's always going to be exactly what I need, isn't it? And no matter how great the need is, he has everything at his disposal. It's all right there. He has the cattle of 1,000 hills. It's according to his riches. So in closing, what situation in your life, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is, what's the obstacle, okay? What is the obstacle that you are not trusting him with? What is the obstacle that you are not trusting him with? Where are you leaning to your own understanding? Where are you looking at the circumstances instead of the one with the answer? I'll leave you with this. Trust the Lord to meet your need according to his riches and in whatever way he sees fit. Not how you want it, not how you thought it. Trust the Lord to meet your need in whatever way he sees fit. And when he does, we rest in that answer knowing this is exactly what I needed. This is exactly what I needed. And never worry about whether or not he can do it. Has he not proven in Scripture? Has he not proven in your life and in mine? Yeah, he can do it. He can do it. Is anything too hard for God? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would convict us today if we need to be convicted in these areas. I pray that you would show to us our hearts and you would reveal to us the places in which we are leaning to our own understanding. We've got our hands on the problem. We're not letting you have it. Whatever it is, I pray that you would help us to trust in you and your answer and to not worry about it and just let you have it and let you take care of it. And that you would help us, Lord, to just look at the situation and realize what, just to leave it in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.